When an animal is unfortunately poached, it needs to be moved by a complex criminal network. So can science come to the rescue and help apprehend these dangerous gangs?
With us is someone whose work has been instrumental in bringing down some of the cartels who are involved in this trade. Sam Wesser is a zoologist at the University of Washington. He's also been dubbed the Sherlock Holmes of the illegal wildlife trade because he's developed techniques that enable him to track down where animals are being poached from. First, Sam, what's the magnitude of the problem that you're grappling with, you and your colleagues?
It's quite serious. If you just look at the ivory trade, there's about 40,000 elephants being killed a year and only about 400,000 left in Africa. So it's causing quite a bit of damage to the ecosystem. And much of this ivory is being shipped in large shipments, over a half ton. And it's shipped in containers. And right now there's about 1 billion containers moving around the world each year. So you can imagine the problem is that you've got a huge profit margin. And all you have to do if you are a transnational criminal is get your ivory containerized and get it into transit. And you've pretty much got it made. So it's made an extremely difficult problem.
And the people, as we heard from Andrew, who are actually responsible for this are not nice people.
No, they're not. There have been over 3,000 rangers killed by poachers. And some people who are also looking at it at a higher level, trying to get the big cartels. About 6 months ago, a very well-known investigator, Wayne Lauder, was murdered in Dar es Salaam. And that was really devastating. And there have been others. So it's quite serious.
And the strategy that you're advocating and have helped to develop, what does it involve?
What we're trying to do is develop ways to get the traffickers before the ivory goes into transit. Because once it's in the transit, it's so difficult to find. So we developed ways to identify the major poaching hotspots in Africa, as well as the major cartels and how many different shipments they're involved in. And the way we basically do that is in the mid-1990s, my lab was one of the labs that developed ways to get DNA from elephant dung. So we could get dung across the entire continent of Africa and map the genetics of elephants across Africa. We then developed ways to get DNA out of ivory. And so now when there's a large seizure, we are able to get the genotype from those samples and then match it to our DNA reference map. And we can tell with very high accuracy where the elephants are actually being poached. And one of the things that really amazed us is that we have analyzed about 50 large seizures over the years. And in the last decade, virtually 100% of these large seizures, which are over a half ton, which is 70% of all seizures made, are coming from just two places.
Right, so you genetically fingerprint the dung, so you've got a genetic map of Africa. You genetically fingerprint any ivory you encounter. That tells you where in Africa it's come from, and that means you can then effectively focus some of your anti-poaching efforts in that area, but also it gives you more insight into how these gangs might be operating.
Yeah, so we identified the major poaching hotspots in Africa, and Africa's a big place. You can fit five United States in there, for example. So being able to say the majority of the really big cartels or transnational criminals are operating in two places is very important. But the other thing that happened in the process was we had a very interesting breakthrough. When we're sampling these seizures, there could be 1,000 or 2,000 tusks in there, and we don't want to sample all of them. So we develop ways to subsample them. First thing we do is try to find the pair of tusks from the same elephant. But we noticed that over half the tusks in these big seizures didn't have a pair. And then I started wondering, well, where's the other pair? And I started looking between seizures, and I found that very often when poachers are poaching, they're selling it to a middleman, moving it to the big cartels. And often the two tusks get separated and they get shipped out in successive shipments. And we were able to track those and to show that whenever you get two tusks going in separate seizures, they're always going through the same port, close in time, and the distribution of ivory in those are always highly in overlap. It suggests the same guy is actually packing both seizures, and you get a whole link chain of matching pairs of seizures that link you back to the same cartel. And in doing that, we've now been able to identify the three biggest ivory cartels in Africa.
Have you actually achieved any success stories in terms of convictions and so on, making a dent in this trade off the back of that knowledge?
Absolutely. The first conviction we got was in Togo in West Africa, a man named Emile Mbuki, who was believed to be one of the largest traffickers in West Africa. He was convicted. He got the highest sentence that Togo offers, which unfortunately was 2 years. And he's already out. So that was a bittersweet story. Most recently, the biggest trafficker that we helped bring down, of course, a lot of people were involved in this, was Faisal Mohammed Ali, who was convicted for 20 years in Mombasa. We connected him to 13 different large ivory seizures, and that was a pretty remarkable. We have another person in custody now, Entebbe, Uganda. He has been linked to 3 other major seizures and also to a incident where Uganda helicopters were flying over the Democratic Republic of Congo. And actually, the helicopters killed 22 elephants. And we have since linked the ivory from that incident to one of those seizures that individual's in custody for. But he keeps postponing his trial somehow, or someone does. And the other thing that is really kind of alarming is there have been a number of cases now where some seizures that we have identified that are incredibly connected to many other seizures, 2 of them in particular, one never went to court, the other one was found not guilty, which was just I can't even say how shocked I was that happened. So, yeah.
You ever been threatened? Do you worry?
Sometimes, but not really that much. I have been threatened, but, you know, I'm passionate about what I do, and I don't really think about it, to be honest.
Sam, thank you very much. You can see why they call him the Sherlock Holmes of the illegal wildlife trade, can't you? Sam Wasser there from the University of Washington. Good luck as you go forward in your mission.